Good evening, Little Saigon, Seattle. Good evening to all the people in the viral safe zones of North America, and also good evening to the viral death zones. Good evening to the weird freaks that live in the craggy rocks off the coast of Madagascar. Good evening to all my friends out there. It is November, can you believe it? November the 10th, 2020. Right around 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'm just here drinking my green tea. Are you sitting around your dumpster fire drinking your green tea? Are you sitting around the dumpster fire of your existence? Yeah. Cresto McGee, Cresto McGee. He's a friend to you and me. He's from Planet 3. A place for vagabonds and bums and diseased French bulldogs filled with parasites and pain. A place of misery and love. That's right, Cresto McGee comes from Planet 3, a place of misery and pain and French bulldogs filled with parasites, romance and fast cars. Cocaine nightmares and laser beam sunsets. That's where Cresto McGee is from. And now, as you sit around the dumpster fire of your own bullshit and drink your green tea, go fuck yourself. Yes, indeed. Can you believe it's Tuesday? It just seems like a week ago, we were all gonna think about the voting and how voting works. Yes, you remember when someone told you that your vote counts? Did they tell you how many times they counted? That's the trick, though, isn't it? Your vote counts, but did they ever tell you how many times they count it? Sometimes it's two, especially if you're dead. Sometimes it's zero, you know, if you're a third party. And when I say I'm drinking my green tea, don't assume I mean actual tea. It's just something green I found growing on the street. If it's green, it's healthy, right? If it's alive and living in the city of my broken down misery and pain, it must be something beautiful, right? I've been told Seattle's a super city, which means in the coming age of Quadroflex, all of the laser beam cowboys will rule. Don't be a fool. Don't be crazy. Be prepared for what's coming, baby. cocaine nightmares and laser beam sunsets. Yeah, I'm drinking my green tea, which happens to be warm and green, but that's about it. Did you hear the dog whistle today? The new dog whistle? Oh, well, Trump can just release the documents. And what documents would those be, honey? Would those be the documents that tell us who actually killed John F. Kennedy? Would those be the documents that explain why no one has left low Earth orbit since 1972, son of a bitch? Which documents are these? Are these the documents about, you know, the Gulf of Tonkin? Or 9/11? You know, Building 7 fell several hours after the planes hit. They say it was the furniture. Which documents are we talking about? I remember, like, I think it was, like, about 4 years ago. There was this supposed document dump of Vault 7. It turned out to be total bullshit. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that whatever the WikiLeaks people think they're doing, they're not. And it might be the case that Julian Assange is a real person being tortured, or he might be totally fake. I don't really know which is true. But what I can tell is this. For all the fucking revelations, I don't see that anyone of any real importance is going to jail. That's the state of the election. In October of 2016, Biden joked in a debate that Hillary Clinton, I can't even say her name without wanting to swallow my own vomit. Trump said, 30 days going to jail. It's been a second. Been more than 30 days, bro. And since it looks like you are probably not going to win the narrative contest for President of the United States this year, why don't you do it, man? What do you got to lose? Except for the fact that it's bullshit. It's bullshit. I'm sorry. They're never going to release the documents. They are still perhaps deciding what they want to do next, but it looks to me like what I kind of feared, which was, you know, what we're going to end up with hyperstatism. And what does hyperstatism really mean? Well, it means basically, if you're a person like me who's professed any interest in liberty or freedom in recent years, then you're going to have some hard times ahead. It may be soft hyperstatism, which you could call exile hyperstatism. And what does that mean? It means that if you're not willing to get tested, if you're not willing to take the vaccine, you just won't get a job. You just won't get any food or water or shelter. That's all. Of course, that's not really what's going to happen, because a lot of people would say no and end up in the streets. So what's actually going to happen is people who say no, you know, they're going to go someplace special. We don't want to talk about the place where old Uncle Blimbo went, but we got tacos for free. We don't want to talk about where old Aunt Sassafras went, but we got our tacos for free. Yeah. That's about how it feels and sounds. That if this is the scenario, because my friend Jim still thinks that it's going to be the Civil War scenario. And actually, the Civil War scenario, as horrible as it is, has a potential opening towards what I would call the soft collapse of the empire, which means something like what the Soviet Union went through in the early 1990s. If we were lucky enough, if we truly still had enough dignity left that we could fight for anything, we would fight for that. But all I see are slaves. All I see are slaves, and if anything, and this is not going to sound good to some of the people who listen to this, but if anything, the reason why this positive outcome is probably not going to happen is because to have it happen, we would need the help of God. We would. At this point, we would need the intercession in some form of God to have that soft imperial collapse, where maybe we get to go back to what we were supposed to be, and that is a free republic. I don't think that's going to happen. That's not in the cards, but I don't really believe in tarot cards. That's not in the book. I think what's going to happen next is going to be a chastisement. And it might just be a historical chastisement. These things happen throughout history. We might just be next up on the list, but it could be worse than that. It could be the beginning of those times that many Christians fear. I know that they're telling the lie again. They're telling us about how bad the pandemic is, how many thousands of people are dead from it. But the thing about an actual pandemic is you don't need to tell people it's going on. You don't need to fearmonger it because they can see it for themselves. I've seen no sign of this pandemic in the last 8-9 months. I've seen no sign of the things you should see. The only thing I've seen are freaks wearing masks and black-clad motherfucker commies marching up and down 12th Avenue periodically, although I haven't seen them in a number of weeks either, which basically leads me to believe what I knew several months ago, that Black Lives Matter is just another, you know, CIA sideshow, like ISIS, like any other group that they manage. It's another deep state mindfuck. People believe it because they want to believe life is that simple. But, you know, if you're seeing rubber cones at this point and not anchored triple strand concertina wire, then I'm thinking you don't know what the fuck is going on. And if you don't understand what I just said, you really don't know what the fuck is going on. The actual riots, the ones that are coming, the food riots, they won't be on TV because they'll actually have to use concertina wire and machine guns. The actual riots that are coming will look like the few glimpses we've had of Nigeria until that's kind of been a news blackout, hasn't it? People will scramble like ants for any scrap of food. They will tear their neighbors to pieces. How do I know this? Because it's happened before. This isn't prophecy. This is history. And this is coming. You can say to yourself, well, Dan, there's no way America could have a famine. And my answer would be, famines can occur anywhere there is a crooked government. Because most of the really great famines in history were either caused by the government directly or indirectly. Either they directly caused the famine, which happened in the Soviet Union in the 1930s, or indirectly as a result of incompetence, kind of like what happened with Mao Zedong during the Great Leap Forward. Although, frankly, that was probably on purpose too. A famine is coming, and the riots that are going to be related to that famine won't be on TV. You can hear it in the streets now. You can hear the Grunkett tribes forming up near Hauser Street. Not far from, you know, the abattoir, the slaughterhouse where they take the stray cats and dogs. They take the dogs there to make taco meat. That taco meat is prized amongst the Frohman folk. Covered in oils and feces, they're migrating from Ballard to Westlake. Next week, protein cubes go on sale at Ort's Butt Cake. 50% off your protein cube. That's if you have a little receipt for taking Aunt Sassafras or Uncle Blimbo to the special camp in Yakima. Time to feed the monsters of the night their drug of choice. Time to wander through the darkness of this dread, nasty, moist, clammy, mutant algae-covered, algae-covered city of Seattle. Time to go down to the waterfront and see what the giant fucking jellyfish are doing. They're not talking about what's happening down there. Those jellyfish are coming up through the sewers, they're coming up through the toilets. They're looking for food and they're gigantic. In the deoxygenated oceans, these things get huge. And they're out of food. They got stingers and they'll just crawl right up the toilet. Maybe if you're at the urinal at your favorite sports game, they'll come up through the urinal. You're wearing your mask, so you're low on oxygen, you fuck. Next up is your feel-good story for the day. Yeah, your feel-good story for the day. I don't even know how else to say it. Oh, you know, you ever have Butterfingers? I don't mean the Butterfinger fucking candy bar. I mean Butterfingers when you're surfing the web. And you ever wonder if that's like by design? I don't know. Before I read this, I'm going to like have a little bit more of my street tea. Headline. Indeed, headline. God, I hate all these pop-up ads. Headline. And this is coming from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Holy smokes. I've got a friend of mine who lives around about there. He sends me the choices of the choice sometimes. Headline. Woman arrested in daughter's deaths. Organs worth a lot of money. Yeah. 2020, folks. And I read on. And this is by, the article's written by Alexis Ford, again, of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. A Las Vegas woman charged with killing her two young daughters faced a judge Tuesday morning. Authorities said Amanda Sharp Jefferson, 26, told the father of her children that the baby's organs would be, quote, worth a lot of money. She was arrested Friday on two counts of open murder after her boyfriend, Jaquan Singleton, said he came home to find her at the apartment. With their daughters, Rose, 1, age 1, and Lily, 2 months, stacked on top of each other in a baby swing, both dead, according to the arrest report. Singleton told police that the couple had been together since 2018 and had not had any problems in their relationship until Sharp Jefferson recently started talking about the alter spirit world. The father said he returned home at 1064 Sierra Vista Drive on Friday and realized the girls were unresponsive. He told police that Sharp Jefferson kept, and I quote, kept shushing him, and at one point made a statement that their organs were worth a lot of money, according to the report. Sharp Jefferson told police that she believed she had been set up, that she did not have any children, and she did not know Singleton. Police have said it was unclear how the children died. Court records list one prior arrest for Sharp Jefferson. She pleaded no contest in January 2017 to a misdemeanor destruction of property charge, although the case was later dismissed. She appeared on Tuesday before Las Vegas Justice of the Peace Karen Bennett Herron, who set another hearing for Thursday, when attorneys were expected to argue whether Sharp Jefferson should continue to be held without bail. Yeah, this is a horrible fucking story. And I don't know what to tell you. A horrible story sent to me from a friend, I think yesterday or the day before. I think it was yesterday. Could have been this morning. Could have been yesterday. Notice what she says, though. I'd like to go back to that line in her statement, because I think it's of interest. Singleton told police that the couple had been together since 2018 and had not had any problems in their relationship until Sharp Jefferson recently, and I quote, started talking about the altar spirit world. But it's spelled altar, A-L-T-A-R. So either this is a spelling error on the part of the reporter, which could be a computer at this point, we don't know, or this is really what she said, altar spirit world. It sounds like she meant alternative spirit world or something, or mind-altering, but alter spirit world sounds weird. It sounds a lot like demonic crap. It sounds like what happens when you reach the bottom of the barrel, and I've been there, but you don't have anything other than your own, you know, sin, because that's what you're left with by yourself at the bottom of the barrel, is you got your sin, you got your body, you got whatever troubles you have, and that's it. And with Jesus Christ, I have more. I have a lot more than that, even on my worst day. Even if I end up in the streets soon, and that could happen, or someplace else, I still have Jesus. But this woman, this young woman, didn't have anyone else, probably other than the demons that were whispering in her ear. And as far as her husband goes, I don't know how this just happens, you know? It seems like he probably would have noticed this. And I just wonder about parents like this. Like, is it the case that they have no one else in their lives that can help them? Is it the case that they're so isolated from their friends and family that no one can lend them a hand? How does a mom get to this point? And maybe the simple answer is evil. Maybe. It seems too simple. But it could be that simple. I just don't know. I think we're living in a time, because of the nature of the age we're living in, where one could argue, and I have made this argument, I don't know how you prove it, that there are more demons about. There are more demons about, there are more people letting demons in. If you look at popular culture, it's filled with this crap. It's filled with witches are cool. And listen, guys, I'm just going to say this straight up, witches are not cool, okay? I don't care what you fucking say, there is nothing in Christianity that justifies a person being a witch. And if a person tells you they're a good witch, there are no good witches. There are no good witches. Witches worship the devil. That's what they do. I've spoken with the good witches and the bad witches, and what they always come back to is Lucifer is misunderstood. Really, honey? Lucifer is misunderstood. That is an age-old tale. Lucifer is misunderstood. No, he's not. He's not misunderstood. He actually has an agenda. I don't understand every aspect to the devil's agenda, but I will say this. It does not involve the improvement of the condition of human beings. If Lucifer can succeed, he just doesn't want to remove the 10 or 15% that Bill Gates jokes about. Well, with better vaccines and reproductive health, we can eliminate, you know, we can eliminate 10 or 15% of the population. Bill Gates actually says that. He's recorded saying that. And you folks out there, you're still thinking what? That some magical person's going to save you? Listen, there is a force in the universe that you can talk to. It's called God. It's called my Lord in heaven, Jesus Christ. It's called the Holy Spirit. You can ask for the Holy Spirit. You can pray to Jesus, and that can help. But there are no superheroes who are going to save you. Those things are not real. And as far as the quote-unquote good people in the government goes, if there were any fucking good people in positions of power left, something would have happened months ago. Because whatever this pandemic is, it is not a pandemic. It could be biological warfare. It could be human experimentation. It could be the first phase of getting rid of a lot of people because there just won't be enough food here in a year or two. Oh, sorry. Can I repeat that statement? It could be phase one of killing a lot of people because there just won't be enough food to go around. At least not for everybody. And last Thanksgiving, I told people they should stock up on extra food, and people laughed at me. I'm not even bringing that. If there is a family Thanksgiving that I go to this year, and there might be, I'm not bringing up any of this stuff. I have spoken my mind. I have been shadow banned beyond belief. I have nothing else to say. If people can't understand which direction the wind is blowing in at this point, it won't help if they're a weatherman or not, you know, if they know the weather or not. It does. If you're completely ignorant of the changes going on around you, there's nothing that I or anyone else can do to help. The first step, if you want any chance to survive what's coming, the first step is to disconnect from the lies, because the lies are going to kill you. The vaccine is good for you, that you need it, that's a lie. If you take the vaccine, your odds of being killed go up. I'm telling you this up front so you hear this. They will give you all kinds of emergency garbage. Supposedly, the COVID cured the flu, and people believe that shit. Well, Dan, we've had no flu. Really? In what fucking year since World War II have we had no flu? Well, this year. It's magical. It's magical. It's evil is what it is. And so when I read stories about this woman, this mother, and what she did, it horrifies me. But it horrifies me that human beings have allowed themselves to be turned into tiny, petty, sad, passive-aggressive, little squishy slaves wearing their fucking slave mask. It saddens me how many slavish fucking stupid people are walking around with masks on right now. It really does. That saddens me too. It saddens me that people believe the bullshit they're being fed. I mean, holy fuck. I live in a neighborhood that is half a mile, plus or minus, from every major fucking hospital in Seattle. If there was a pandemic, I think there'd be evidence. But the emergency hospital they set up, you know, the emergency hospital they set up at Harborview, that went down after 3 weeks. It's bullshit. And I'll tell you something else too. Nothing magical happens when you sit down at a booth at a restaurant. If you don't already know this, I'm going to blow your fucking mind. There is nothing magical about sitting down to eat at a restaurant. Nothing. So why is it you can take the mask off to do that? Because they know that people are going to be putting it on, taking it off, just to fucking eat. And they know that world, at least for now, has to still keep working. People still need to believe they're going to go back to normal. So they need to be able to sit down at the booth and take off their slave muzzle. But are you really that stupid that you believe that when you sit down, magically, for some fucking reason, it's okay to have the mask off? What is that fucking reason? Have you meditated on that shit? No, listen, if you want any chance in hell of surviving, any chance in hell, you need to disconnect from the lies immediately because the lies will kill you. Okay? At this point in time, if they call something food, it's more likely poison. At this point in time, if they call something a cure, it's more likely the disease. This is what's going on. This is the age we're in. An age of lies, deceit, demons, and the devil. That's where we're at. And it might be the final age. I have no idea. And it might be just another crappy chapter in the sinful, stupid history of the monkey apes called people. It could be that too. I said this in 2019, and I'll keep saying it because it's something we should think about. Everybody can be saved by my Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone can be saved. Everyone. But not everyone will be saved. Jesus already paid the bill so that we could all be saved, but not everyone will be saved. And I am sorry that that sounds harsh, and I'm sorry that that hurts a little to hear that. But that is the truth. That mother and her husband could have been saved, and who knows, maybe they will be, maybe they still can be, I just don't know. I don't know enough about the current state that that mother's in. If she's possessed by a demon, probably got to get rid of the demon first. But if you murder your children and you're seeking to be saved, to make it, so to speak, there's a lot that has to be done, I think, to prove that you actually have faith. I don't know how easy it is, but you know what? Everyone can be saved. But the other side of it is not everyone will be. We're living in a time that could be the tribulation, and it could be just another crappy period in human history. And a lot of people are going to commit acts of evil, and a few people will do things that are courageous and good. And the net effect of both might be nothing. I keep circling back to Ecclesiastes these days, but if you're a Christian and you need something, a little bit of intellectual bulwark for your situation right now, read the whole book of Ecclesiastes, the whole thing. And then maybe read it again. Don't just read the part about a time for this and a time for that, a time for parties and a time for drinking. That is the nicest part. Read the whole thing. I'm not saying it's ugly or mean or scary or dark, but I will say this about Ecclesiastes. It has a balanced appreciation for the situation we find ourselves in as human beings. In this drama on planet Earth of love and hate and war and all the other crap that humans are up to, all of it, the success, your success, you might be a really successful person. All of this goes away. All of it. You have a nice house, you do, with a nice floor, a nice hardwood floor. That all goes away. Sometimes it takes 50 years. Sometimes it takes 100 years. Sometimes, like with, you know, the tsunami back in March of 2011, it only takes a few fucking seconds. But all of it goes away. If we were able to accept that, maybe we'd be kinder to each other. That may sound counterintuitive, but it's not meant to be. If we understood how little of this shit matters, maybe we'd focus on the stuff that does matter. But we're still stuck in focusing on shit that doesn't matter. We're still stuck in the social media programming loop, a lot of us. We're still stuck in the daily grind Death Star shit. All of that's coming to an end here. Even for the essential workers, it's going to change radically in the next few weeks. And my friend Jim could be right. The radical change could be civil war. Although I don't see the other side to this yet. I don't see the so-called 3%ers and the boogaloo freaks yet. I don't see them doing any of the things that they would have already done by now. I don't know who is in charge of which groups of people are supposed to do what, but you guys are fucking up. Whatever opportunity you have, you're losing it. And if you're waiting for Papa Trump to release the fucking documents or Papa Trump to arrest Hillary Clinton, if you're waiting for Q to tell you what to do, you are fucked. If you want one chance in hell at all, then you better choose to act. And that means turn off the fucking computer, turn off the fucking phone. If you are not sure that your comms are secure, put down that device. Do not touch the unclean thing. If you're not sure that your communications channels are secure, then use a different channel. But if you've been wondering when is a good time to get ready to rock and roll, it's now or never, folks, I think. Because once Trump gives that statesman-like speech, or frankly, if Biden ends up doing it, then it's all bets are off. They will do whatever they have to do to shove the next phase of status crap, murderous, terrible shit down your throats. And they will do it in the most cowardly way possible. Exactly like the Nazis, exactly like the Soviets. They won't kill people at the apartment complex. They'll just take them away. You just won't ever see them again. They won't kill people in your neighborhood. They'll just take them away, and you will never see them again. That's what's coming. That's what the cowardly status freaks do. They don't even have the moral fucking courage to do the killing on sight, because they know that even the most asleep, even the most deprived of truth, when they see the fundamental truth of that their neighbors are being killed, even the most miserable, cowardly amongst us will have a scream of rage. If you're wondering when the time was for you to do something, it was a year ago, a decade ago, a century ago, and clock's ticking. I don't know. I think this will be the podcast ending for tonight. That story really sucked a lot out of me. I don't like thinking about shit like this. I don't know. Maybe I'll talk about one or two other things before we close out this abbreviated podcast. I had this funny poster I made that says, "I don't want to be healthy when I die." It's not entirely original, but in the link notes, you can look at it. And then I have this other poster that you can see in the link notes I did a while back. An apocryphal quote from Adolf Hitler. "Your cat is food. Changed my mind." Anyways, so ridiculous. Can't believe how stupid I am sometimes. And of course, there are the notes from the other day that we haven't touched on yet, but I thought I would read Proverbs 11:1. Proverbs 11:1. "The Lord detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights find favor with him." I'll repeat that again. "The Lord detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights find favor with him." "The Lord detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights find favor with him." And, you know, I've been reading a lot on something called literal hermeneutics as a way to look at the Bible. A friend of mine gave me some books that are helping me in my study. If I want to be more than just a drunk hobo preacher, I have a lot more work to do. And when you read Proverbs, I think you're meant to read them in a literal way, but in the context of the time, but then translate it to the context of your time. Because the thing is, back in the day when people used gold and silver and salt and other things as money, it was about weighing things. It wasn't just about checking to see if it's gold, but you need to weigh the gold. You need to have a measure of approximating the weight because that has importance. You could say there's only one way to lie, right? That, you know, when the Lord in heaven says, as one of our commandments, "Do not lie," you know, do not bear false witness, do not do this, there's many ways to lie, but one of the most crooked ways you can lie is when it comes to people's work. In fact, of all the crooked, deceitful lies that you can put forward, the lies that have to do with the value of your daily labor are the most fucking disgusting. I'm sorry. And yes, I'm swearing. Jesus knows that too. But when I think about the Federal Reserve, when I think about their interest rate policy, there is no way you can consider their actions or the actions of the Treasury or of our government as being honest or accurate. In fact, they do everything they can to obfuscate, to confuse, to call things what they aren't. They don't call it money printing. They don't call it money printing because, or really what would be most honest, this would be the most honest description of the Federal Reserve: counterfeiting. They are counterfeiters. That's what they do. They counterfeit work. They didn't work for the money they magic into existence. They just magic it into existence. That's what counterfeiters do. But they don't call it counterfeiting, do they? They call it quantitative easing. They call it interest rate policy. They call it being supportive. Supportive monetary policy. That means counterfeiting. I think the Lord detests the Federal Reserve. I know with certainty that Jesus Christ, in my humble opinion, if he were to arrive at the Eccles building, would do to the Eccles building far worse things than he did when he went into the temple and started turning over tables. I think at the Eccles building, oh boy, if Jesus ever shows up at the Eccles building, you don't want to be there that day. My Lord in heaven ever shows up at the Eccles building, I am fairly certain that some very Old Testament kind of stuff would go down. That is how corrupt, that is how crooked, that is how dishonest the scales of the Federal Reserve are. That if he ever showed up and knock, knock, knock on the door, you don't want to be there that day, because I think he'll be doing a bit more than tipping over tables, you know. But again, Jesus does not return until the end time, so you're safe now, Fed. At least you're safe from Jesus. You're not safe from history. History will always come in at the end like the A-Team, like B.A. Baracus with a punch to the face. History will beat you with a lead pipe eventually. Don't mess with history, folks. You know, one of the things that my friend Jim has mentioned many times in the past, and I really appreciate, is this idea of not touching the unclean thing, because it's hard to understand what that means. It comes from the Bible, and I'll leave it as your homework to look up where. But I think there's more than one place in the Bible where this is repeated. So it's not just that it's in one spot in the Bible. I think you find it in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Do not touch the unclean thing. But if you live in the United States of America, not touching the unclean thing in 2020 is a lot like playing that game Operation, except for it's way more difficult. And those little plastic bones are way further down in some type of crotch cave. And you think, oh, well, I can get the bone. I can get the bone out. Just watch. Oh, ow. I just got shocked. It's hard to do the right thing on the Death Star. That's what I call the United States these days. But maybe a better way to call it something would be Rome. Our whole country is like the city of Rome, you know, during the time of the Empire. We live and we thrive off of a lot of stuff that we steal from other people. And it wouldn't have to be that way. If we didn't have this super megalomaniacal super government, we could live within our means and we would all be happier. But for whatever reason, and maybe this does go back to the coup of 1787, the coup that throughout the revolution and replaced it with a king we elect every 4 years and a Senate and a Congress that would be just as corrupt as the British Parliament. Hey, seems like we ended up with jolly old England in that constitution. But yeah, who knows when the empire began, but we have been in the empire since I was born. And I have lived in Rome my whole life. And there is no part of Rome that does not in some way make a little money off the unclean thing. All of it. And if any of you crypto freaks, but what, you fuckhead? Every increase in value of your stupid money basically correlates to Fed money printing. So, I'm not really seeing you into something that's really other than just another gimmick, another scam. Do not touch the unclean thing. How in the United States of America in 2020 do you survive without touching the unclean thing? If I didn't put on the mask, I would not be able to go get food. Now, it's possible that I could take off my mask and go get food, but I can tell you what happens next. Two or three people come up to me and say, why aren't you wearing your mask? Oh, you have to leave the restaurant. You have to leave the fucking grocery store. You have to leave this place of business until you put on your magical muzzle. So I'm not here to be a fucking hypocrite. I, too, in order to survive, have touched the unclean thing. And I think Jesus understands this, but this is also something I would kind of throw at you. There are limits. There are lines you cannot cross. There are things that are not okay. A little more than a year ago, a governor in the United States of America, and I'll leave it up to you to look up who this governor was, but I think it was the governor of Virginia, but it could have been another one of those crooked states. A governor basically said that post-birth abortion was okay. Post-birth abortion's okay. It's no big deal. Now think about that mother who killed her two kids. And I don't know why. Maybe it was because she was going to sell their organs. Maybe it was because a demon told her to. But if you have governors telling mothers and fathers that their children are garbage even after they are born, what do you think happens next? Do not touch the unclean thing is virtually impossible in this country at this point. But if you think that there are lines, if you think the lines are gone, that there are no more lines out there, there are lines. There are lines you cannot cross. If you cross those lines, you are damned, in my opinion. You're damned. So the good news is I don't think any of us who've so far just worn a muzzle have necessarily violated any salvation critical issues. That's the good news. The bad news is the choices are about to get tougher. Sorry. More difficult. Sorry, I wish I could give you a happy go jolly message of today. You could get some green tea too, you know. You just have to go down to the street and scrape it off the sidewalk like me. So for Tuesday, November the 10th, 2020, right around 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, this is your good friend in Little Saigon, Dan, signing off. I think the odds of Trump giving a quote-unquote statesman-like speech have gone up significantly. I think that sometime in the next 7 to 10 days, you're going to hear that speech. And if you're at all involved in the Liberty Movement, I would turn off your Bitcoin miner and figure out a plan B. And if you're not obsessed with that Furby, then I would also figure out a plan B if you are a person who could be identified as a member of the Liberty Movement. Because yes, it's true, you weren't in the streets setting shit on fire. That was Soros freaks and CIA. That was commies and freaks dressed in black, but it doesn't matter. You will be blamed. It's in the Bible, actually. It's in the Bible. Jesus says this too, that when the time comes, people who claim to follow him will persecute you. I need to repeat this because there are a lot of Christians out there who are very, very confused, and they think by snuggling up to the papists, to that motherfucker pope in Rome who's an anti-pope, or by snuggling up to Buddhists and Muslims, they're somehow going to be safe. Sorry. That's a really bad idea. That's not going to save you. Jesus says that there's going to come a time where even Christians persecute Christians. Of course, when I say Christians, the Christians doing the persecuting, sarcastic quotes, are probably not in favor, and probably they have violated some salvation critical stuff at that point. Good night, folks.